That was awesome. That was awesome. Thank you so much. And you will soon know how that fits in with today's talk. And you may look at that song a little differently as you move forward after today. Do you love me? Aww. Thank you. February is the month of love. We've had shared with us that it's the power of love, as defined by Charles Fillmore, co-founder of the Unity Movement, for the month of February. Valentine's Day is just around the corner. Just a little plug, little reminder in there. So love is in the air. And in our society, in our culture, the word love is used very freely. Actually, perhaps too freely, a little loosely. For we sometimes use the word love very casually, in a way that could be more authentic. Oh, I just love your hair. I just love that movie. I love your new dress. And I find myself guilty of the same thing, where it would be much more authentic to say, your new hairstyle, the way they have cut around your hair, your eyes just sparkle. Isn't that more authentic and more real and more complimentary to the person? Or that movie touched my heart in such a way that I didn't expect. Much more authentic. And so a few years back, I'm shopping with my good friend Nancy. My husband's not so much a shopper. He's great in picking out clothes, though. I go to him for advice often, but I shop with Nancy because she lets me try on more things. So we're in and out of the dressing room, taking turns, you know, showing each other things that we've selected, and of course you stand just like this, a way you never stand, except when you're in front of a mirror. And so I come out in something, and I say, what do you think? And my friend says, well, do you love it? And I'm like, well, I think the color is flattering. I think it fits me well. And she says again, do you love it? And I say, well, I think I could wear it. I start justifying the purpose, the purchase. I think I could wear it here and there. And again, she says, do you love it? Well, now it's a little strange. So I come to find out that my friend has recently read an article about a tool. It was geared towards women, but for all shoppers who perhaps shop a little aggressively, to help them, that if they try something on or they see something and they don't absolutely love it, then not to purchase it. And it was then that I realized that I was not sure that I could actually conjure up that emotion towards an article of clothing. Or perhaps I had not met my right and perfect outfit. Always a possibility. But remember when love was truly simple? Perhaps like this, I love you. Do you love me? Yes or no? And sometimes the no is in very little writing with a tiny little box. Remember how you felt? It probably determined if you were the sender or the receiver, or what the answer was. But love was very simple when we were little. For we have this one word that means love in the English language. Sometimes it's spelled L-U-V in a playful way, or it might be love ya in a casual way, or love you. Remember being out with a group of friends and having that special someone in the group that they didn't know they were that special someone. And you do something and they say, oh, I just love you. And you're like, what did they say? What was that? What was that? We so yearn to hear those words and to speak those words. And so there's the L-U-V and there's the love ya, love you. And then finally the I love you. Or even more specifically, you, I love. And so we learn this wonderful word that we have in the English language. And when we turn to Scripture, we find that in the Bible, the word for love appears over 300 times, regardless of the translation. So today we're going to look at the Gospel of John, the 21st chapter, the 15th through 17th verses. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep." A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." This was a conversation that took place post-resurrection. This was after the ascension that Jesus is back with his disciples, and he has this very meaningful conversation with the disciple, with Peter. Now, when I would read this and seek for meaning, I would hear the song from the Contours. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And I do that. Although I am not a musician, many things happen in my life. A song comes to mind. Perhaps the same is true for you, or a line from a movie. And I just allow it. Not sure what it means often, but it's just kind of comical. I know it's part of my personality, so I just accepted that. Then I had the opportunity to take a class in Koine Greek. Koine Greek is the common language that the Bible, in which the Bible was written. It was the Greek of commerce. And I came to learn that within Scripture, within Koine Greek, there are two words represented that mean love. The first one is agabi, agabi, and we know it as agape, agape, that beautiful, overwhelming, unconditional, oneness, love, divine love, spiritual love. And then there is the word philia, or philio. We know it as philio, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. This is friendship, this is comrade. This is brotherhood. It is close. It's not the same as agape love. And I came to learn that both terms appear here in Scripture. And so let's reread this again. Whoops. Okay, perhaps not. All right. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Jesus used the word agape, agape. "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know I love you." And Peter used the term philia, friends, we're friends. Jesus said, "Then feed my lambs." Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Again, using the term agape. "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you," using philio. "We're colleagues, we're buddies." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" This time using the term for friendship. Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. Jesus was hurt because he realized that something had shifted, that there was a change. Perhaps the relationship was in question. "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Now we know that metaphysically, we know that metaphysically, Jesus represents our Christ consciousness. That is our divine self. And we are both human and divine. And that Peter represents that earthly, human part of us that is more dense in nature and not quite as flexible. And we are that beautiful blend of both. We are this marriage of both human and divine as we're participating in this dance of life. And one is not to be shunned for the other, for we have our human qualities that allow us to experience life here on this earthly plane. But we recognize ourselves in Peter, not always catching it, perhaps, the first time. Not always catching it the first time. And so I wanted to know for myself, are we still being asked this question? Am I still being asked this question, do you love me? And so I went to meditation. And in meditation, I carried that question with me. Am I being asked by Spirit, do you love me? And I received an immediate answer, strong, assertive answer. No, absolutely not. Spirit asks nothing of us, demands nothing of us. And because it came so quickly, I recognized it for what it was, my ego. And so I relaxed and went back into meditation. And wouldn't you know it, the song from the Contours, back again. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Now that I can dance, watch me now. And I realized there was my answer. Watch me now, not in a threatening way, not in a, I'm looking over your shoulder and judging everything that's happening, but what I believe and how I feel and my deeply rooted faith is expressed in everything I do. Watch me and you will know how I love God. Watch me and you will know how I'm holding my fellow men and women. Am I coming from that agape, we are one, or am I coming from that, we're friends, I'll do a little something for you when it's convenient. Watch me and you will absolutely know. And what was the charge that Jesus gave to Peter? Now Jesus had made his ascension. Peter is left behind. Did he say, Peter, you have been my good and faithful servant, and I think you should retire to Capernaum. You've left your family. You know, maybe do a little fishing on the Sea of Galilee. No, he said, tend my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Do as I have done. Do as I have done. You have watched me. Live the truth out loud that you know that is who you are. Whoops. Okay, there was another little slide supposed to be in there, but that's okay. Because you have it. It's the fifth unity principle. It is the fifth unity principle. Through thoughts, words, and actions, we live the truth we know. Jesus was teaching what we know as the fifth unity principle. We must live in expression, full expression of who we know we are, of who we believe we are, to express that. We all want to do that. Intellectually, we all want to do that. In our hearts, we all want to do that. So what gets in our way? What gets in our way is our own human personalities, the ways that we have developed to live on this earthly plane with our ego and with those aspects of us that make us feel safe. For some, it's the need to be right. That's a big need. The need to be right makes us feel safe. Unfortunately, it usually makes someone else wrong. Or the need to do it right. I'm a recovering one on the Enneagram. There has to be a right way. I'm going to find out what it is, and I'm going to do it just that way. Unfortunately, that also comes with, why aren't they doing it the right way? Oh, I'm doing it the right way. So there's judgment that comes with that. Or the need to be loved. We all have the need to be loved. Does that get in the way of our being authentic? The need to be free, the need to be spiritual. All these needs that we all have get in the way, often, of our expressing the love that we are. We think it's to keep us safe. But it's part of that human veil of misunderstanding. There's a story that's based on an old Jewish legend. And it is about God in heaven commiserating with the angels. And God is crying, and he's looking down on earth, and he's seeing what humans are doing. He's not happy. And the angels are trying to make him feel better. And they say, look, God, there are people that are going through the rituals that they've created. There are people who are going to church and synagogues and temples. There are people that are praying, and they're praying to your name. They remember you. And God said, oh, how I wish they would forget me, but remember my ways.
Yes.
Remember my ways. For we know that love is a verb. Love is action. Love is loving action. Love is God in action. And that is what is being asked of us. So what does it mean today to tend our sheep, to feed our lambs? To be present to one another, to remember who we are, to remember who they are, to sometimes remind that person in front of us of the divine truth of who they are, to be present to joys and sadness, to alleviate pain and suffering wherever we can. It's that fifth unity principle, to live the truths we know, to express them to the fullness of who we are. For we are still being asked that question. Always. And we are always answering. And as we develop our agape love, remember to include yourself, to be gentle towards yourself as well. Jesus said, to the least of these, whatever you do for me. And so, today, I have two invitations. The first is to consider your personal use of the word of love and see where perhaps we're using it a little casually and how we could make whatever the combat is we want to make more authentic. And the second invitation is, however you are living your life and expressing love out loud, take it up a notch. Go to another level. Stretch yourself into perhaps little discomfort to express that divine of who you are. I love you. Do you love me? Yes or no? We are being asked that question. Each and every day, every instant, every interaction, every moment. And we are answering. Watch me now. Say that with me. Watch me now. Now say it as a whispered prayer. Watch me now. And now as an affirmation. Watch me now. Thank you. And so it is. If we allow ourselves to move into that space of meditation, we settle ourselves in our seats. We might place our feet on the floor, relax our shoulders. Close your eyes if you're comfortable in doing so, or gaze softly at an object before you. And just take in that lovely deep breath and exhale. As if there is a string the top of your head, lift your chin and your head ever so slightly, opening up that heart space. And breathe in again. Oh, releasing. And as we continue in this space of the heart, I invite you to allow the words I speak to be the words of your own heart. I am a beautiful, unique, one of a kind, expression of the divine. I am an active participant in this dance we call life. And my heart is open. My heart is open to receiving and giving, to actively participating in the connections with one another and with all of life. I am open to being aware of where I am not expressing my most divine self. For it is through my awareness that I may choose to make a different decision. And I allow that awareness to continue throughout every moment of the day. I am divine love, and I am divinely loved. I recognize this truth for every being on this planet. My brothers and my sisters, those like me and those most unlike me. I open my heart and my mind to the oneness that we are. The wonder of this oneness. And as I move into a few moments of silence, I carry with me that wonder of oneness in the silence. In the silence. I am a beautiful, unique, one-of-a-kind, unrepeatable expression of divine love. And I choose to embrace and to express my truth this day. I allow myself now to become aware of these beautiful souls around me. This space in which I sit, this sanctuary built on so many prayers, and return to the awareness of this now moment. And so it is. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.